And let's pray that the Lord can have His way in our lives today. Dear Lord Jesus, we came here today, we came here this Sunday morning just because of you and you only. We came here this morning, we came here to learn from you and from you only. Oh Lord, speak in our hearts, speak in our minds today. Help us to understand your word, help us to understand your purpose in our lives. Help us to understand the purpose that you call us to serve you, oh God. And help, Lord, that, oh Lord, that I'm not here to give my opinion, but to speak the word that you want to deliver to your people. Bless this Bible class this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Put your hands together and say, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's start by reading in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, if you could open your Bibles. Amen. In James, chapter 1, verse 17, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you may have a seat now. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate every one of you in here this morning. Thank you, Sister Delilah. I think she went to another Bible study. Sister Delilah is here. Oh, yeah, she already left. But I want to thank you, every one of you, for being here this morning. The title of this message is God Has Gifts For You. My objective is to promote spiritual growth in the believers and prepare them to use spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God and use the spiritual gifts in a warfare against unbelief. So in the book of James, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our walking with God is filled with the blessings, grace, love, forgiveness, and we receive many, many gifts from the Lord. Just the fact that we are here today, healthy, we were able to come to church, just the fact that we are alive, that is already a gift from God. Amen. So every breath we take in this world is a gift from God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts of the Lord. But as I teach this subject, this, what I'm going to be teaching today is just a quick overview, because this subject is very extended. So what I'm going to do is just a tip of the iceberg, just a really quick overview, just 30 minutes, quick overview on the spiritual gifts of the Lord. Our walking with the Lord and the gifts from the Lord always start with the gift of salvation, in which Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners. In Romans, in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," see, it is a gift, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." There is a gift of being born again of the water, having our sins forgiven and washing away. Then there is the gift of the Holy Ghost that infills the believer in so much that the believer starts speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. The Holy Word of God is also a gift. Our lives, our health, our children, our jobs, homes, properties, all that concern us, they are gifts from the Lord upon us. Even the faith that we have, it is a gift from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." See? So all things come from God. All the good gifts comes from Him. Even the gift of our faith. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave the order in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And all that passage that Jesus said to Nicodemus, all that conversation that he had with Nicodemus about being born of the water and the Spirit, was explained in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Peter explained in our level of understanding. Very simple. He laid it down. Very understandable. Peter said, and then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." See, again, is in there. The gift of the Holy Ghost is another gift that God is giving to those who seek Him. The Holy Ghost is a gift from God, and so is the experience of being born again. Many believers, like Pastor Kyle just mentioned, we have 120 people receiving the Holy Ghost. And we have many people being baptized in our church. And it's wonderful how God is adding to the church as many as He orders to be joined the church. Many believers might be wondering, "Well, I have been baptized. I have received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now what?" So many wonder, now what? It's even recently I was asked by a brother. He came to me and he said, "Well, I have been baptized. I have already received the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Now what?" And I was praying to God to give me a message to preach this Sunday. And I felt like a confirmation from God. Many wonder, now what? And it's very important that we focus our attention to the words of Jesus in this crucial time. Jesus was very clear when he referred to baptism in filling of the Holy Ghost as being born again. Born again means that an individual has just been born into the kingdom of God, because we were born of the flesh. We were born by the will of our mothers, our fathers. So we were born from in our human nature, in the flesh, in the world. So when we are born again, we are born into the family of God, which is the spiritual, our spiritual birth, our spiritual family, which is always in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus called that being born again, he is clearly implying that a born again individual is, let's say, a baby spiritual. So it's important that we look at baptism and Holy Ghost as not being the end of our walking with God, but as the Bible itself says, as being born again, but see that as an introduction. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together. Praise God. When we are born again, it's just the introduction. It's just the beginning. It's a baby's. Amen? I understand that the baptism, many of us have been already baptized before. I personally have been baptized 3 times, and I was going to church before, and then until I get it right, the baptism in the name of Jesus. Amen. So it's important that we understand that Lord God, is a loving God, and He's always giving us a chance to restart again and again and again. The Bible says that His mercy renew every morning in the book of Psalms. Let's praise God for the chance that we have to restart again. And every day is a new day. Every day is a new beginning in our walking with the Lord. And as we are born again, and we find this truth, we find the experience with the Lord, we find the truth, which is the Word of God, it's important that we focus now in what direction God wants to take us. The first concern for a new believer is to ground himself in the Word of God. You see, it's extremely important that every born-again believer be rooted in the Word and the Word only. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because the Word of God, as it says, in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." He is talking about the Word and the Spirit. They all together, they never separate it. Amen? The Word of God and the Spirit of God, they agree as one. And so should we in our walking with the Lord. So the Holy Ghost and the Bible and the Word of God, they are one. They are connected. They are attached to each other. They never separate it. They always as one. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 119, verse 115, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So the Word of God is the lamp. Here is talking about the believer, the born again, those that have received the Holy Ghost, those that have been baptized. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path." Amen. Praise God. So as we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts, we have already established that all the operation of the Spirit of God is in agreement with His Word. We have established that. Amen. And so we're going to learn about the spiritual gifts. Let's take a look in the book of Corinthians, chapter 12. Verse 1 through 30. First Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1 through 30. So we're going to be reading 30 Bible verses. Amen. Praise God. I love the Word of God. It's wonderful. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So it is the will of God that we have that understanding, that knowledge of the spiritual gifts. "Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as we were led." So Paul is talking about to the Corinthians, which they were, they had those pagan religions. "Wherefore, I give you to," they had those pagan religions and they come to Christ. They were born again believers. "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man is speaking by the word of God, calling Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost." Amen. So that proves to you that what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit and the Word, they are all connected. They all bind together. So they all attached to as one. "You know, ye Gentiles, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice how he keeps repeating, by the same Spirit. See? You can see the word same Spirit in the end of the Bible verse. To another, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, Paul now is comparing the body of Christ, the church, as a human body. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. See, now there is no difference between Jews or Gentiles because God came to all people. There is no separation of race, ethnicity, background, language. God came to all, Jews or Gentiles, to all people around the world. We all are called to serve this wonderful one God. Whether he be bond or free, in the sense whether you are wealthy or poor, or we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. He's asking you a question. He is stimulating you think. And if the ears shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not the body, and it is therefore not of the body. And I'm going to explain that later more thoroughly. But what he's saying is that don't think that because you don't have certain gifts, you're not part of the body. That also includes here. Many people think that because they're not on the stage, doing some work on the stage, they're not really part of the church, or they are not really connected to God. This is not true. That's not what the Bible says at all. Amen? Because we are all parts of the same body. Each person has its own call into the ministry, but we are all called in the ministry. You don't have to be on the stage. You don't have to be seen by man. You have to be seen by God. Put your hands together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. It's how God pleased. You might ask why I'm not called to be a singer and a praise. Why other people are called to teach? Other people have other gifts, other different gifts. According to the Bible, it's all as it pleases God. Because it's his church, it's his kingdom. He is the king. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he loves us. And he loves us all the same. God doesn't love those that are doing all the so-called the bigger work more than he loves those that just came to Christ. They just got baptized. So he loves all equally. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That doesn't that gives you a peace in your heart to know that God loves you and he doesn't make distinctions of people. He loves all unconditionally. Amen. Put your hands together. Praise God. He's awesome. And in verse 19, it says, but now we are, actually verse 20, but now are they many members, yet one body. In verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, look at this, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant come lines. Isn't that wonderful? For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered in the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. That there should be no chism in the church, no division. Chism means no breaking down divisions in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And when the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it. Just to give you an illustration, I heard from a preacher that he was in Africa. He was a preacher, and there was something happened to him that he lost a finger. I don't know if many of you have heard that story. Raise your hands if you had heard that story of that preacher that lost his finger. Seems like nobody has heard it. Okay, maybe as I tell you the story, you're going to remember. But he lost his finger, and perhaps it was an accident or something. And he was always questioning God, why I lost that finger? And he never had like a clear explanation from God. But he thought, oh, this is just a finger. That doesn't make any difference. I just lost the finger. And as he was preaching in the jungles of Africa, he was caught by a tribe that they were cannibals. And they were caught. He was caught, and they were going to kill him to eat, and they would eat all their prisoners. And then they came to inspect him before the killing, and they found out that he was missing a finger. And for the tribe, there was a big deal, because according to their customs, they could not kill and eat a person that was handicapped. So he received his freedom. He was delivered. Praise God. So that illustrates to you that sometimes we don't understand the ways of God. Things happens, and at the time they happens, we think they are a curse. But you know, it's God operating in our lives, and many times take time for us to understand all the tribulation that we go through. And it says there in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? And he said, do always speak with tongues? I'm going to explain to you the difference between the speaking with tongues and the gifts of tongues. Do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and ye shew unto you a more excellent way. Okay, Paul goes on. He talks about how charity and how love are the most important gift, because love and charity is the foundation. Love is the foundation of all operation of the gifts. Amen. So without love, the operation of gifts becomes ineffective. So you have to be based on love. All the operations are gifts. That's what Paul is saying. That's why he goes on saying that the most important of all is love, because love is the foundation. So there are many gifts, and mainly 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. So we're going to be talking about 9, mostly 9. There's the gift of tongues.